Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
So I'm going to look into something, and this is not going to be, I'm going to mention a band here, Sue, that most people will not be familiar with. But it really, it's one of my favorite bands, and there's been an interesting development. I'll look into it. So they were just at the pageant a few months ago. You might remember I talked about this band, Coin.
I do.
And yeah. I'd never seen them before, and the new album is fantastic, and I really like a lot of their music. The song that people probably would I always refer to this as like Jane Duker's theme song, because it's called Talk Too Much. And really love this band. They've been together, I don't know, 13 years. So something kind of weird happened where they booted the drummer, and I never was quite sure what happened. And
recently?
Like a couple of months ago. So I'm tooling around because the grandchild was just here. If you missed that, we had Idris and my son and my son's girlfriend. But I was posting something on Instagram stories, and I noticed that Coin had a posting. And basically, the dude who runs the band, Chase, essentially says, and I'm going to look into this, I got rid of my drummer, and yesterday I fired my guitarist because their values do not align with mine. And he essentially, in this posting, said the band cannot continue. He said, unfortunately, these developments have led me to the decision that Coin can no longer continue as a band. I bring it up because, look, it's Trump derangement syndrome. I almost guarantee you that it's related to Trump.
Well, I'm reading an article about it. It says the Nashville pop rock trio Coin are breaking up due to misconduct allegations against two members.
Okay, so maybe something happened beyond that that was...
What does that mean?
Is it Me Too moment or something like that? But I mean, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, this has been a very successful band. They're on their biggest tour ever, and he essentially said, nope, we're done. And refunds are going to be issued for anyone that's going to see the band. So I'm going to look into that more. Will you forward that to me?
Yeah, I will.
Because that's... So look, I'm making the assumption that it's related to Trump, and that's not always safe. Maybe it is different conduct because he talks about values, so... But it has to be pretty serious.
Misconduct. He said he found out something about somebody... Let's see. I recently became aware of revelations around my bandmates. I want to share thoughts directly with all of you. I believe in accountability and doing what's right. I made the decision to move forward without my drummer, and yesterday I parted ways with my guitarist.
Yeah, that's what the Instagram post said. But if you forward that to me, just because, again, I don't want to jump to the conclusion, but that doesn't happen very often. Bands break up all the time, all right? But they don't really peel off like this, where all of a sudden the drummer's gone and then the guitar player's gone.
Yeah, that does not happen,
so it is unusual. Congressman Bob Onder is coming up at the bottom of the hour. He was just in Doral, Florida, with President Trump and other GOP lawmakers, and the S is getting done here in D.C. and beyond. I'm just going to say that. And I think Michael Goodwin is going to relate with that and agree with us this afternoon. New York Post columnist back with us on 97.1 FM Talk. Michael, how are you?
It's been extraordinary. I have to say it's sort of the fastest out of the gate. And look, I think it's remarkable, but it also owes to, I think, to two things. One is that Donald Trump was president before. And so he knows something about everything in the federal government. And his campaign was brilliantly focused on the most important issues that the public cares about. And so when you put those two things together, he came in, you know, he won that election with a very focused idea on what he wanted to do. And he had the whole interregnum between the election and the inauguration to map it out. But even allowing for all of that, I am shocked when you read the big executive order he put out on day one. It refers to about 80 Biden executive orders. So somebody, and not him alone, I'm sure, had to focus on pretty much everything the Biden administration did on a number of key areas and then revoke them and lay out a new way forward for each of them. So a lot of work went into this, but a lot of very focused work and very knowledgeable work. So it was impressive, not just in volume, but in quality.
I agree, Michael. You said no president in modern history has come to the Oval Office better prepared and more determined to get big things done fast. I don't know if you saw Caroline this morning in the briefing, but I'm sitting there thinking I'm in a dream because all this stuff is being ticked off. You know, we got a guy, Will Scharf from St. Louis, that's in there with the executive orders. I'm stunned by how much they're doing right now.
Yeah, I watched Caroline Leavitt, the new press secretary, the youngest press secretary in White House history, 27 years old, a new mother. Just extraordinary that her breadth of knowledge. I mean, I've spoken to her before, and there isn't much she hasn't been exposed to in terms of the issues, the politics. I mean, she's quite remarkable for someone with such a short horizon.
You know, and she announced, and I covered this a little earlier on the show, but she announced some changes today. First, Michael, I think you would agree with me that we have to take a moment, maybe a brief moment of silence for the departure of Jim Acosta at CNN. I'm sure you're broken up about that as well. But look, Caroline Leavitt made it very clear that there's some outlets and even podcasts that carry news and they cover news on a regular basis. And that press room is going to look different, and it should look different.
Yes. I mean, I think when you look at the chart now, first of all, I should say, Mark, most people don't realize how small that room is. I mean, it looks big on television, but when you actually get into the room, there are, I don't know, roughly 40 seats or so, maybe 50 even, spread about over, 8-9 rows. And then behind that, there are the camera risers. There's not a lot of room on either side. You could see today people standing too deep along the wall. The other side is doors and windows out, but it's a tiny space. And so what they're going to do is scramble the seating so that it's not dominated by the legacy media organization. She talked today about giving new media a seat in the room every day that there's an event, and whether it's podcasters and websites, all of them try, because she's right that particularly her generation gets its news not from the legacy outlets, whether it be print or broadcast. And so they really want to reach as many people as possible through as many outlets as possible. I think I'm all for it. I think that allowing the Jim Acostas and the New York Times and even the Associated Press and NBC and ABC to dominate the news gathering, to dominate the time in that room and the seats, and to get called on every day, I think is an outdated model.
Michael Goodwin is here from the New York Post. Look, I want to kind of segue into this point about the media and the AP in saying this. I have my character flaws, but I'm self-aware, Michael Goodwin. I'm pretty self-aware when it comes to those things. You got Zeke Miller from the AP asking this question this morning.
Thanks, Caroline. A question that we've asked your predecessors of both parties in this job. When you're up here in this briefing room speaking to the American public, do you view yourself and your role as advocating on behalf of the president or providing the unvarnished truth that is, not to lie, not to obfuscate to the American people?
Well, wait a second. Has he not been in that press room for the past 4 years, Michael Goodwin?
Well, and she gave back as good as she got, right? She said,
yes.
Basically, yes, of course I'm going to tell you the truth, and of course I'm going to speak for the president. But I hope all of you will also tell the truth. and said, you know, there's been a lot of misinformation and lies that came out of this room from members of the media. I mean, I'm not quoting her, but that was roughly the point she made. And she's absolutely right. Who can dispute? I mean, whether it's the misinformation on COVID, right, that, oh, it couldn't have possibly come from the lab in Wuhan, to censorship, to Hunter Biden, all of the things that Donald Trump, you know, why is it that the ABC had to pay Donald Trump a $15 million defamation fee?
Or CNN,
right?
A couple of
lied.
Times. Yeah, or so, the CNN. No, that was an uncovered story a couple weeks ago, and I did cover it, but that CNN defamation trial that was with Zachary Young, that was amazing, too. So they've racked up the decisions against them, CNN has. Congratulations.
Yes, and I think that there's some more outstanding cases. There's a couple of cases against CBS. So, look, I think the legacy media, and this is not just an advocacy point of view from you or me or Carolyn Leavitt. It is a fact based on Gallup and Pew, big polls over the years showing that the decline in trust in the federal government is mirrored by decline in trust of the media. And I think that is the problem the media has to work out. The fact that it has covered up for the lies of the federal government has boomeranged both on the government and on the media. And so when you have a new president, it's the right time to try to reset all of this. And Trump, whether you love him or hate him, is the most accessible president we've had perhaps ever in the history of our country.
Hey, let's just take the last week and take everything else out of the mix. He's the most accessible ever just from the last week, which is kind of incredible. I've talked a lot about, I'm sure you've seen the meteoric rise of my dear friend, and I don't like this, that he's gotten so popular, because then I lose him here on this show, but my friend Scott Jennings. I've known Scott for a long time. He's been a contributor to my show for a long time before he blew up on CNN. But as you might know, you know, and you mentioned in your column, Michael, Dr. Patrick Shun-Chung, who is the owner of the LA Times, he invited Jennings to be on the LA Times editorial board. Some of the details and the specifics being left, you know, to some more steps that are going to be taken. But look, viewpoint diversity is what I think needs to be focused on. Not this other racial diversity, but viewpoint diversity in a newsroom is pretty important. And I think maybe we're going to take a few steps toward that.
Yes, I agree. I mean, that's what Jeff Bezos is arguing for at the Washington Post, effectively, as well, which is that...
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I think Bezos, frankly, doesn't fully understand the issue. But it's not about your opinion columns per se. It's really about your news coverage, ultimately. And of course, you want to have a diversity of opinion on your opinion pages, too. But it's the news coverage that's killing these legacy outlets. It's when their news coverage becomes slanted to fit into a narrative that which is essentially Democrats good, Republicans bad, Biden nice man, Trump beast. That kind of formula that they've done over the years and that which reached its nadir under on the coverage of Donald Trump in both terms, I think is what is killing these outlets. Because it's driving people away who don't see it the way they do. I mean, you know, I sort of have to. It's almost comical now. The New York Times today, the lead column in the New York Times, the lead top of the paper, threatening his enemies yet to come. Trump looks ahead with acts of payback. That's their story. That's their story of the day about the president of the United States. I mean, it's all in their mind. That's what they've said it would be, and so they're now fulfilling their own narrative. It's not about the news. It's not about the facts. It's about what the New York Times wants its readers to know and believe. I mean, it's really malpractice, and if it weren't for the First Amendment, which we all love and revere, this would be a criminal offense. Now, I'm not saying it should be a criminal offense, but the journalists, these news outlets, have to get some control over themselves. I mean, this is crazy.
Yeah,
they're dividing the country this way.
Yeah, and they're abdicating responsibility. There's no doubt. And look, I'm not risk averse to pointing out some good journalism, and I think it's vital, Michael, and I think you would agree. Look, the New York Times did this amazing piece. It took a year to put together on the DEI, you know, situation at the University of Michigan. That was really good reporting. We have a local paper here, which has been, you know, pretty much agenda-driven journalism, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, but we had a pretty good detailed set of reporting from a journalist over there on a disaster that's occurring in St. Louis public schools right now. So that's why this stuff is so important, because otherwise it won't get covered.
Well, that's right. And particularly, I mean, I've been around to some different publications over the years and participated in some of the Pulitzer juries in the past and everything. It's the local coverage that matters to most readers. I mean, of course they want, you know, national and international as well. But fundamentally, it's the local coverage. And so many papers have gotten away from local coverage and have, you know, covering the White House. They're covering everything in Washington as though that's what matters. And they've forgotten the local, local, local. And I think that has destroyed a lot of journalistic organization, particularly in an era when you can get so much online. If you're in St. Louis, you don't need the Post-Dispatch to find out what's happening in Washington. But you do need it. You should be able to find it about what's going on down the block,
yeah,
what's going on in the local school system, the local hospitals, what the local crime. That's what I think a lot of media organizations got away from. They nationalized, in part because it's cheaper. Right. You can get your news out of Washington with one or two reporters, or you can buy the New York Times news service and you get your homogenized news from somebody else. That has been a very destructive decision by a lot of owners and editors over the years.
So I won't bore you with the story now, but put this in your head, because this will develop over the course of the next month. I'm struck up a relationship with the dean of my journalism school, the University of Missouri. I felt a little alienated from my J school, Michael, because of my politics.
Yeah.
And I've shared a little bit of the story, so I'm not going to waste the audience's time or your time. But next time I speak with you, I may have some interesting, you know, discussion about that topic of viewpoint diversity and, you know, journalism moving forward. So I'll share that with you in the coming weeks and when we have you back. But thank you so much for this. Happy New Year, Michael Goodwin. I hope all is well.
Oh, doing great. Thank you very much, Mark.
Get more at 971talk.com.